Today's message is Living a Supernatural Life by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Ephesians, the third chapter. I'm going to read it from four different translations. Four different translations. You know, in the early days of my grandmother, Candida Chapel, who went to be with the Lord, I'll be honest with you, I've had so many people pass away in my family, I forget all the times. I don't know, maybe 8 years ago or so, honey, that my grandmother passed away, 92, 93 years old. But she got me, she was a mean grandmother. She was a mean grandmother. No, she did. She talked mean. Don't say nothing about your grandmother. She here. Okay. My grandmother, when she spoke, she always spoke very harshly. You know, put your hat on. Young, you catch pneumonia. And that's how she talked. But my grandmother was very supportive of me in the ministry. And from the time I told her that felt I wanted to be a preacher, she would always buy me books and supplies. And she gave me my first commentaries, my Matthew Henry commentary and my Matthew Henry concordance and those kind of books that I still use to this day. But in the early days, I used to preach a lot from commentaries to get understanding and to get interpretation. And now, this is how I study, y'all. I read all the translations now, okay? Okay, that's how I do now. I read various translations to get it plainer and plainer and to get the full essence interpretation of the scripture. Now, I read the Bible to read what it says, okay? And then you got to go from line to line, precept upon precept, and then you got to read other scripture out of mouth of two or three witnesses to understand what he meant, okay? And then you got to rely on the Holy Spirit to give you how to apply it today. See, because there's interpretation, but then there's application. And I don't just want to give you, my goal is to always give you very practical application. That's why I don't just tell you Bible stories, but because it doesn't mean anything about Jonah getting out of the well. Come on now, getting out of the big fish if you don't know how to get out of your trouble. Come on now. So you gotta know what that got to do with me. What that got to do with you is that you can be disobedient, but God's grace is still sufficient for you, and he'll prepare a way for you to get you back on track, even when you messed up. Yeah, you get that from Jonah. That's what you get from Jonah. Amen. So let's go to the Word of God today. Look at Ephesians, the third chapter, the 20th verse, first from the most traditional that we are used to, the King James Version, which says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above." When I learned in English, they call those superlatives, each one getting higher, greater than the latter. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. That tells me God's able to do at least three times higher than what we ask or think. Now, asking is done with your mouth. It's thinking is done with our mind. Some of us think things that we would never ask. Of all my children, I told my son Daniel, my son Daniel is the one who would ask. To this day, he will ask. He asked me for something a couple weeks ago by text. And I said, "Are you serious? Are you really asking?" He said, "I'm just asking. You can say no." That's been his theme his whole life. He wore ass when he was like 10. He came to my office one day and said, "Dad, can I have $1,000? Now, most 10-year-olds wouldn't think about asking, but he figured, hey, what I got to lose? I don't have it now. You just might say yes. And so some of us, we think things we would never ask. I was a stutterer as a young boy, and I was, because I grew up with people who just made you nervous to talk. Really, I said this one time, and I realized I was just traumatized. I thought all kids were like this, you know. But I asked y'all, and y'all looked at me like, "No, that ain't my history. It ain't childhood." I looked at y'all one time. I was preaching. I said, "Remember how when you was a kid, you always felt nervous? You just felt like any time, at any moment, something could jump off." And y'all looked at me, "No, that ain't my." But that's how I felt as a child. Like any moment, something about to jump off. And anytime adults got around, anytime I'm about to get slapped, or something. Really, not really. I was traumatized as a child. But it's all right. I'm over it now. Okay? I mean, because, you know, they say stuff like, children be seen and not heard. You know, adults would say something and you would laugh. And just laughing because they said it. You didn't say it, you just laughed. You get, stay out of grown folks' conversation. I wasn't in the conversation. I just laughed. I mean, really, that was regular. Stay out of grown folks. And so I was scared to ask for stuff. I would go to ask for stuff and start stuttering. I would say, Mama, kid, what you want? Kid, just spit it out. Kid, what? Never mind. Some of us, we think it, we won't dare to ask it. God said, first of all, you got to be able to think it. Then you got to go a step further. And you got to ask it. But he said, even what you think and what you ask, I still want you to know, I'm able to do exceeding abundant above all, inclusive of everything, exclusive of nothing that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Everybody say, I have power that works in me. That verse from the Amplified says, now to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. New Living Translation. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Then we have the Message Translation. Some people don't, they say you shouldn't call them the Peter Message Translation a translation. It's a paraphrase. So some people call it paraphrase. That verse from the Message paraphrase or the Message Translation, which is also known in the Bailey family as the Righteous Translation. It says, God can do anything, you know. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Glory to God. Now, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to have more significant spiritual dreams. As I was younger, my dreams meant nothing. I would dream the craziest stuff. I would dream stuff I just had to wake up and repent about. Now, why y'all looking at me? You too, right in this section. I would just dream stuff. And then one of the best dreams that I would have, I would dream I just had money. Like money, money, money. Sleeping in money everywhere I went. Money, money falling all around me. I'm laying on money. Everywhere I go, I'm finding money. And you all ever had that dream too? Just finding money. And then you wake up and you realize you in your bed. You try to get back to sleep. Let me go back into this dream. Because this is better than going to work today. Okay? But as I'm getting older, my dreams are more significant now, because I guess that's why the Bible said your young men will see vision and your old men will dream dreams, is what the Bible says. But we can dream some stuff. Any of y'all ever dream some really far out great stuff? But God says, even I want you to know I can do more than you dream about. Wow. More than you dream about. In other words, God is saying, I can do supernatural things. And the subject of this series that I'm starting today and I'm introducing, and I don't know how far it's going to take us this year, because as I meditate on his other various aspects that I want you to see about this, about this supernatural thing, and that is that I'm calling this living a supernatural life. Everybody say, God wants me, come on, to live a supernatural life. Come on, say it like you believe it. God wants me to live a supernatural life. You heard some testimonies today. You heard already, I shared testimonies with you about somebody getting a letter that all the children going to go to school debt-free. They wasn't necessarily expecting that, but God fixed that and worked it out like that. And some of y'all, you hear that kind of stuff, say, well, yeah, that's really nice. And then you've heard me talk about things that God's done in my life, done for my children, done in my family. You've heard various other testimonies and praise reports. And some of us, we really have no problem believing that God will do it for somebody else. But I want you to know God wants you personally, you, yourself, and you to live a supernatural life. Say it again. Say, God wants me to live a supernatural life. And when I speak of supernatural, supernatural means above and beyond the natural. Supernatural means to experience and see and do and to have actions that can only be explained by the power of God. Things happening that can only be explained by the power of God. In other words, God wants you to be. Who was that? Was that Miss Sophia? Miss Sophia, when she had gotten beat up, was in prison, and then she came and she saw a friend. She said, "When I saw you, I knew there is a God. There is a God. God wants to do things in your life that make you sound and act just like Miss Sophia." You find yourself saying, "There is a God. There is a God." No. He ain't just God in the church. He ain't just the God of our fathers. He's not just the God of my grandmother. He's not just God that Pastor Betty talked about. No, he is God in my life that I regularly, consistently experience the supernatural power of God. Look at John, 3rd chapter. When I was meditating on this, the Lord reminds me of John the 3rd chapter. In John the 3rd chapter, it starts off with this man named Nicodemus. He was one of religious leaders. Now, he was one of religious leaders. That means he knew the law. He knew the law of Moses. He knew the scriptures. And he knew rabbis. He knew teachers. And people had their various assignments of when they would teach and read in the synagogue. And yet, when he heard Jesus speak, when he saw Jesus' ministry, the Bible says, verse 2, he came the right direction by night. I mean, to Jesus by night. See, because he was from another denomination, and he didn't want folks to know that he was slipping up there in Jesus' meetings. Because they don't want, you know, he wanted to stay in good with his denomination. And so they would come to the early service so they can go on to their church. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And so he came to Jesus by night, trying to be incognito. And he said unto Jesus, "Rabbi or teacher," look at this, "we know." We means there have been several of us talking about you, observing your ministry. "We know that you are a teacher who come from God." Why? "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." You're just not the average preacher. Come on now. You're not just somebody who got a good message and a good hoop and just talented with rhetoric. No, you are a teacher who comes from God, because nobody can do the things you're doing except God is with him. In other words, he was noticing you have a supernatural ministry. You're not just a gifted orator. God is with you. God wants us to live in such a way that your friends, that your neighbors, that your mom and daddy, your cousin, and people who don't believe like you do, after all is said and done, they may be laughing at you now. They may be talking about you now, going all down there to the right direction church and all that kind of stuff. And they may be making fun of you. But by the time God finished with your life, God wants them to say, "Listen, it is obvious. God is with them. Nobody could have what they have and do what they do and experience what they experience and go where they go and live like they live and have a marriage like they have, and except God is with them." God wants the supernatural to not just be done for you, but he wants other people to see the supernatural in your life. God wants you to live a supernatural life, above the natural, in a way that nobody can explain it but him. And why does God do that? Go over to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, God explains why he does and wants us to live supernatural lives. Let's start here at the 25th verse. The reason why God does supernatural things, he said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. God will do things that make no sense. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren. Have there not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things. Things and people and that make no sense. The foolish things of the world to confound, to make the smart people scratch their head, to make intelligent people try to figure this thing out, to confound the wise, and God chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things, people that things that people despise, and people think that surely they're nothing, they come from nothing. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? The base things of the world, which are despised, God has chosen, yea, things which are not, or which are nothing, to bring to nothing the things that everybody sees that are. Why does he do this? Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Let me put that another way. God will do supernatural things so he and he alone will get the credit. So he and he alone will get the glory. Now I thank God for natural doctors. Amen. And I thank God all the more I got a saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost, tongue-filled doctor. That's a blessing. Years ago, I heard Kenneth Copeland preaching. And Kenneth Copeland preaching to someone, he said, my body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're going to be touching doctrine on this body, I need a man who's filled with the Holy Ghost. I need a spirit-filled doctor. At the time, I didn't know no spirit-filled doctors. All I knew was Dr. Goldstein and Weinstein. Goldberg. I don't know no spirit-filled doctors. And so when I was praying, I said, Lord, I need one of those spirit-filled tongue-talking doctors. Glory to God. And praise God, close to 20 years ago, a spirit-filled tongue-talking doctor walked up in this church and became a member of our church and now oversees the medical ministry of this church. And now that's where I get my regular checkups with, where spirit-filled tongue-talking, come on now, that when something ain't right, we touch and agree and we let, come on now. Glory to God. And I thank God for my doctor. I thank God for accountants. I thank God for lawyers. Amen. I thank God for favor. And thank God for people. Watch this. Thank God for people that give you favor with, and doctors and lawyers and attorneys and police officers, etc. But there's some things that God wants to do in your life that it won't be because of a hookup, just because God by himself. Are you hearing me here? In other words, God wants to do something so supernatural that you say, nobody did this but God. When God tells Naaman to go and get in a muddy Jordan and dip 7 times in a Jordan river, he knew that made no sense. You're going to choose the muddiest river and tell me some kind of way I'm going to be made clean? Nobody could take credit for that but God. When God told Peter, Jesus tells Peter, go to the brook and cast out a hook. And the first fish you catch, open up his mouth. It's going to be enough money in there to take care of your taxes and my taxes. Nobody can take credit for that but God. I'm telling you, God wants you to experience the supernatural above and beyond the natural. And for the believer, the supernatural should be as expected and as frequent as the natural. Let me say that again. For the believer, the supernatural should become as natural, and the supernatural should be as expected and frequent as the natural. In other words, every time you turn around, God working a miracle in your life. Every time you turn around, something's happening that you say, oh, nobody did that but God. Glory to God. Every time you turn around, God fixing something, maneuvering something, touching something, orchestrating something that you knew nobody did this but God. Come on, if you've already experienced the supernatural power of God in your life, give him a praise right now for the supernatural thing that he's already done. But we gotta have an expectation for the supernatural. We should regularly and consistently see the hand of God moving, maneuvering in our lives. In Matthew, the 5th chapter and verse 8, simple scripture there is part of the scriptures of what we refer to as the Beatitudes. Jesus says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, the way I've always heard this scripture in traditionally throughout the church, the pure in heart, we think of someone who is, we think of somebody like pure like the drifted snow. You know, someone never sinned, nobody ever cussed, and you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't chew, you don't run with those who do. That's somebody with a pure heart. No, as I start meditating on scripture, the Lord showed me a pure heart means a heart that's uncontaminated and uncluttered with human reasoning. A pure heart. A heart that is a clean slate that says, God, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. A heart, like Jesus said, except you become as a child. Now, we went and found that scripture from the Message translation that says God can do it, you know. But my grandson already had that in his spirit. Come on. That he said, God can do it, you know, because he has a pure heart, that nothing is too hard for God. A pure heart in this context means somebody that doesn't human reason his way out of the supernatural. Someone who's not trying to figure it out or work it out. Somebody who just comes before God as a clean slate and says, God, if you don't do this thing, it can't be done. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. The context of this scripture, let me show it to you because I think I got something. I flipped this around with another scripture in the first service. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. We know, many of us, we know this scripture. We don't always know the context. So let me give you the context. Look at verse 6. Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and timber thereof, with Baasha was a building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. 2 Chronicles 16 and 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa. Asa is the king of Judah. And said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Now let me give you the context. The context is that the king of Syria was threatening the king of Judah, God's people. And so he went and made and negotiated peace with him. He went and negotiated a contract with him rather than fight. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, you relied on the king of Syria to help you rather than trust in God. He said, if you relied on the Lord, God would have showed himself strong. Look, verse 8. He said, now think about what I've done for you in the past. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans also a huge host or great army? They had a lot of chariots and horses. Yet because thou didn't rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. What he's saying here, he said, I don't care how big the army is. I don't care how big the case is. I don't care how much the odds are against you. God wants you to trust him for the supernatural and not give up and cave in and quit. So he says it. He said, now I'm telling you, Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect, having a pure heart towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you'll have wars. God said, I wanted to do something supernatural for you. But you, oh my God, but you ran down to the payday loan place. I wanted to show myself strong.
Are you living your best life? You can live above the natural and expect the supernatural. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that God can do extraordinary things in your life and cause you to live supernaturally. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Living a Supernatural Life.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.